Live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hi, this is David Reedman from Pinkprint 69, and I gave you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, their doctors are licensed mechanics. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hi, this is David Reedman from Pinkprint 69, and you're listening to the Genghis with Ragman. Horns up!
Alright guys, you're on live with Ragman, Mono E Mono, with one of his favorite vocalists, and it's such an honor to talk to this guy finally, Mr. David Reedman from Pink Cream 69. Give it up. David, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. What a pleasure it is to be on your show.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. It's an honor to talk to you, man. I've been a fan of your vocals ever since you joined Pink Cream way back in 94. Golly, it's... I feel old saying that, but very honored to talk to you, man. I've been a fan of your vocals, followed a lot of the stuff you've done. Most recently would probably be, you know, some of the Almanac stuff and Tank. So understand you're doing
Tank.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy, and those guys are crazy. It's such a... You know, I've been overseas now. I've been living in Germany, and I've just moved to the Netherlands. It's been 22 years, you know, basically the amount of time I've been in Pink Cream 69. And this is the first time in 22 years that I'm, you know, joined a British band, you know. So it's cool, you know. These guys are crazy, you know, and it's a blast. We go on tour again on Friday. We play in Belgium, France, and then Belgium again. So looking forward to that one.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. we're talking Pink Cream. It's been 4 years since Ceremonial. You've got this great new record called Headstrong. Can you kind of tell the fans what the idea was when you guys got back in the studio to do the new record, Headstrong? How did the two differ? Did y'all go in with a different mindset when you went in to go with Headstrong? Or was it, let's just go in and see what we come up with?
We had a plan. I mean, basically, it had been a long time, and you know, the fans had been sort of asking, "What about a new record?" And we'd sort of told a white lie and said, "Look, you know, it's coming soon, you know." And in our hearts, we wanted to make another record, but it just didn't happen. You know, I was busy and still am, and Dennis was doing his stuff, and you know, I just decided it's time, and I sent a mail and said, look, you know, guys, let's make a record. That was it, really, you know, and it was the right moment. And Dennis got back straight away and, you know, he said, look, let's do it, man. And I said, look, this record has got to rock, you know. That was something that he'd been talking about for a long time. And with the last record, even though I'm still really proud of it, it's a good record, it's got good songs, but it didn't always rock, you know, and this one rocks, and that's the most important thing. That was the message on this one, and it should be heavier. It should be a heavy record. It should rock. It should have the important elements of Pink Cream 69, and above all, on this record, after you know being involved with Harmonite and going in a different direction with my voice, I wanted it to be a bit more aggressive, a bit heavier vocally, you know, and that's what we did.
And that's something I've taken from the new record is it's almost kind of a return to form for you guys. One of my favorite records from you guys was Electrified. I love that record. It's an awesome record. And it kind of brings me back to the heaviness of Electrified, those riffs. There's just so many cool riffs and big choruses, and vocally you sound amazing and stuff. And that's kind of what it sounded like to me. I think on Ceremonial it was a good record, like you said, but it didn't have the power that I think Headstrong does.
Absolutely. You know, on this record, what was really important, and I think also for Dennis, he spent a lot. He's a great bass player. You know, he produced the record. He mixed it. You know, he was the mastermind of the whole thing. You know, once we knew where we were going and the direction a little bit. You know, he took over the rest, and I remember listening back to the sort of rough mixes, and I realized how he played bass on this record. I mean, it's just incredible. It's so locked in with the drums, and it was so great for Dennis, you could say, to you know, returning to form, you know, in the absolute Pink Cream 69 style. You know, and I think everything that he'd done in the past again, you know, with other influences and also for myself, it was just great to bring that into this record, you know. And, go back to the roots a little bit, you know. But it's surprising for me, you know, to hear people talk about Electrified. You know, that was something, you know, that was a record that's, you know, stuck in my mind, you know, since we made it. And I know we got a lot of fans from that record, and it helped us a lot with Shame, the single that took us to Japan and Brazil and also the States. And that was the plan, you know. That was what we wanted to do, and the rest was just easy, you know. We wrote the songs, and the rest is history, really.
Well, when you guys get together to do a record, so you sent the email out and said, guys, it's time. Do you all, like most bands, everybody lives all over the world anymore, so a lot of their file sharing and stuff like that. Do you guys get in okay, let's all meet somewhere in Germany and let's create in the studio? Or how does it work in the writing process with Pink Cream?
Well, that would be an amazing thing, wouldn't it, if we could get together. I mean, it's not a big deal for us to get together, really. I'm living in, like I said, in the Netherlands. It's sort of like 500 or 600 kilometers away from Karlsruhe, where the band is based, and to this day, you know, basically that's where it's at. And but no, we just didn't, you know. Things have changed, you know, with the internet's destroyed a lot of things, as we know, in many different genres. But on the other side, it's made it very possible to, you know, to make these records that we do make today. Someone's actually rung the doorbell. This is real live radio. Let me just have a look. Let me real quick look and see who that is. We'll be right back. That's right, yeah. You know, I mean, let's be honest, you know, things have changed. The internet's, you know, done a lot of bad stuff. But, I mean, you know, we file share. You know, we Dropbox or whatever. And, you know, I'd have ideas. I wrote two songs on this record. Sometimes it's more, but, you know, two songs made their way. Dennis wrote a lot of stuff, as usual, you know, obviously producing the record. And Alfred Quaffle as well, you know, very important, you know, part of the Pink Cream sound, you know. And, yeah, you know, we've got ideas. We make sort of a, you know, A-B list or whatever, you know. We pick the songs that, you know, get that far, and we work on them. And especially the last couple of records, you know, in the past we'd record quite often a lot of songs. We recorded 13 songs this time. And sometimes we recorded 14, 15 songs. And we said this time, look, we're just going to do like 13 songs and it's going to be 10, 11 songs on the record. That's it, you know. And that's, you know, summing it up real quick, you know, generally the vibe of things. And of course, you know, when you're in the studio, I went to Dennis's studio to do the vocals. And as on the spot changes, you know, melodic, timing, lyrics, you know, basically, you know, brainstorming at that moment and changing things, you know. Are you a singer yourself or a guitar player?
Yeah, I'm kind of a failed musician, but my daughter, my little girl, is a big singer, loves music, and she's really cool because she loves every genre. She loves classic rock, she loves hard rock, heavy metal, 50s music, country, pop. She's so versatile, and I'm not that versatile like she is, but man, just amazed. It's kind of interesting, the new generation of kids and how versatile they are in their music taste.
You know, I think because I teach as well, I've been teaching the last few years, and I see that quite often. It's quite a broad, you know, people are into rock, but they're also into a lot of different styles these days. You know what I mean? They're really broad minded in that respect. There's been quite a change, you know, over the last few years. I think it's because, in a way, like a band like Metallica, it's heavy stuff, but a lot of it's also being played on the radio as well from time to time, you know. So, you know, in a way, it becomes, you know, something that was, you know, maybe underground at some point or whatever, has become mainstream, you know, somehow, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. Metal is pretty much the new underground, you know. But, you know, back in the day when I was in high school, you know, it was, you know, pick your genre. And mine was metal, hard rock, and stuff like that. And if you listen to anything else, you got your balls busted or your friends made fun of you and stuff like that, you know. But today, it's a different dynamic, and it's kind of a cool dynamic where, you know, listening to different genres of music is the cool thing. The more versatile you are, the cooler you are. To me, I'm a solid metalhead, always will be, you know, stuck in my ways, so to speak. But, you know, that's the way things are, you know.
Absolutely, and in a way, it was not a bad thing. You know, you sort of, you were a punk, or you were a bit more indie, or you were a rock fan or whatever. And you had like a bit of a direction, you could say, like a sort of a way of life. You know, it was a way of life, wasn't it? Also, you know, and still to this day, if you're a rock and roller, you're probably going to be a rock and roller. Of course, things change in your life when you have kids and stuff like that, and you know, you have to be a bit more responsible from time to time. But yeah, I miss that in a way a little bit. Sort of, you know, you could sort of look at someone and you knew, you know, what kind of direction they were or what they were into, you know. And then these days, it could, you know, you could look at somebody and you're not sure, where they're going, you know. So
I know what you mean, man. It's kind of hard to tell, you know, what guys are into. Look at me, I'm fucking bald and fat. And you would never guess I was a metalhead unless you see me wearing like my Man of War t-shirt or something like that.
Man, I'm fighting always, man. I'm fighting with all everything, keeping it all in one piece, you know, to continue the message, you know.
Let's jump into the new record. The new record's called Headstrong. It's out now on Frontiers. And the first, song that's really grabbed me is Walls Come Down, and you guys cut a video for that. Can you tell me a little bit about that song and the origin of it?
Yeah, Absolutely, and last week we just made a video for that one. That's like, you know, we've obviously record companies these days, they bring out like quite shockingly four songs, you know, it's kind of like almost big part of the record. But anyway, yeah, this is going to be the third single with, or is it, no, number four, actually, the fourth single, yeah, with a real video. And we're looking forward to it, you know, looking forward to checking out the cut and getting it out there on YouTube. Yeah, that was a song that, it's a Dennis Ward song. He wrote the lyrics. And, yeah, I heard the demo. And for me personally, that's probably my, apart from Unite and Divide, it's probably my most favorite song. And, I'd say it's probably the most Pink Cream 69 song. What I love about this song is, if you listen to it, it's like very, it's got heavy Dennis Ward vocals on the refrain, and I do the answer, you know. If you check it out, and that is Pink Cream 69. That's what makes, for me, Pink Cream 69. And, you know, I think it was a song that he sent as a demo in the beginning. It was all great, but the refrain was not quite there. And he made a few changes. Just before I went in to do the vocals, we changed the lyrics a little bit, and we got it down. And for me, right from the beginning, from the early stages, I knew that this was, you know, a strong song, a song that was going to work really good live, you know.
Digging on the album is United and Divided. Can you tell us a little bit about how that song came together?
Absolutely, that's a song that, I wouldn't say progressive, but for Pink Cream 69, there's definitely some guitar, good, great guitar workmanship in all of the record. I mean, Uwe and Alfred did some amazing work, but that song especially, we actually did an interview recently, and I mentioned that's probably, because Dennis is a big Rush fan, you know, and I said that, you know, that's probably the Rush song on the record. He didn't quite agree with me, but yeah, I love the middle part with the, yeah, a little bit progressive kind of guitar work. And I'm just looking forward to the record finally coming out and everybody can have a listen.
Well, the next track I wanted to bring up is the one Bloodsucker. Bloodsucker, lyrically, sounds like you guys were pretty pissed at somebody. So it was either an ex-girlfriend, ex-wife, or somebody that had done you wrong. So just curious, you know, who's it about or what's it about, and how the song came together.
I've got a problem with your madness.
That song is about Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah. And obviously, Dennis is obviously American, and he's, you know, he's been. Everybody knows what's going on and stuff, and you know the big changes in America, and of course, Mr. Trump and everything. And yeah, Bloodsucker. You know, some people are into him, some are not. You know, so need I say more? You know.
We're not really political, you know. We've never really been a political band. I mean, the record's definitely not about boy meets girl and all that business. But, you know, personal opinion, stuff like that, it's a little bit political, this record, you could say, in some ways. You know, when the walls come tumbling down, it's also a little bit in that kind of way political. You know, when it all comes to an end and the whole system breaks down. And also you can see, record, yeah, the Headstrong thing also is connected with, you know, us as a band in a way, you know, being headstrong and keep the faith and keep, you know, to continue, and also you know, to be determined, you know, in that respect, you know.
I bring up on the album I'm really digging is called Whistleblower. Can you give us a cool story of how that song came together?
Luckily, another one of my songs.
Yeah, Whistleblower is, yeah, you know, anybody that's a whistleblower.
I mean, you could use the example of Snowden, you know. We don't want to go that far, really. I've mentioned it now. But anybody that sort of brings anything out into the open, you know, which has been happening more and more these days, obviously with the internet, it makes it very possible to tell the whole world about something. Quite, and you know, that was, you know, that's where we wanted to go with that song. And this was a song that I'd had for a long time, probably about 5-6 years, something like that. And I offered it up for the band, and Dennis had an idea straight away. He changed the guitar work a little bit. I think Uwe wrote the middle part, so it was definitely a joint effort, that song.
Killer tune, man. Well, as far as touring goes, what are your plans? I know everybody's busy with a lot of stuff, but what are your plans to go promote the record?
Well, you know, we're putting something together now. I think the second part of March will be around Europe. That's for sure. And we've always played. I mean, we've always played. You know, some we're lucky we can play some great festivals and, you know, be a part of whatever, Wacken or you know, Masters of Rock or, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, I think it's time, like you said, on the this release, there's a second CD, I believe, with you know, some live tracks that we did over the years that we decided to, just to basically put it out there, you know, you know, I think in a way it's kind of like a, you know, for new fans, you could say, if they're looking into the past history, they get a feel, they get an idea of what we've done in the past a little bit, you know, and it's cool to have something else and an extra part of the CD, you know, and but as far as, you know, on the release date, we probably will come together and you know, drink a few beers, but that's it, I'm afraid. It's been 30 years. It's been, you know, for me, 22 years. It's, you know, we've had us ups and downs, but it's been a great time, and it definitely should be celebrated, you know.
So are there any plans to try to do a live DVD on this tour? I know everybody's got other things going on, so I know you'll do a big tour over in Europe, but dates in the U.S. are be few and far between, so guys like me that haven't ever seen you guys live would love a live DVD. So are there any plans to do anything like a live DVD?
Well, we'd had it around for a long time, and there was actually originally video involved, but unfortunately it got lost. I don't know what happened. There was something happened to a lot of the video. It just didn't work out, and we had this stuff sort of lying around. Dennis had mixed it, you know, at some point, and we, you know, he remixed it again before we released the record, but it was just so unfortunate, and rather than just have it sort of, you know, in the drawer, as you could say, we decided, let's put it out there, let's give it to the people, and it's great to, you know, to be able to listen to those songs, you know, live, because it worked out so well. You know, it was a time when, I guess it's, yeah, 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. And we played with Pretty Maids or something like that. We were on tour with those guys. It was an amazing tour. And we were just on fire at that time. I remember it was just such an amazing, like, so come on, he said, look, I've got this stuff. Let's put it out there, you know. And whether the record company got involved as in, you know, let's try and sell some more records, I really couldn't say.
Well, Dave, before we let you go today, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Absolutely. You know, especially in summer. And we've always enjoyed, you know, traveling. And I love it. You know, like you said, I'm a busy guy. That's how I like it to be, you know. And obviously now Tank's involved. We play next year in Spain, Portugal, and of course we'd love to come over to the States. You know, we were last over with the Prague festival. What's it called? Prague Rock or no? What's it called? Prague Power. That was such an amazing experience. I think that was with Voodoo Circle, and I just love it. I really love it. I mean, getting the visa to be able to come over is a bit of a problem, you know what I mean? That's a little bit slightly uncool. But, you know, we're definitely ready to rock and to get out there, absolutely. And we will be definitely playing next year, there's no doubt about that.
Well, David, I want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on the RightToRock.com. And we want all the fans to go out and get Pink Cream 69's brand new record, Headstrong, out now on Frontiers Records. David, if you make it to the States, I'm going to find you and I'm going to buy you a beer, brother. Thank you so much, man. Had a blast talking to you today.
You better. Absolutely, man. You better come and say hello. And we'll drink a beer together. And it's been great, man. It's been really great. And speak to you next time.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is a theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.